thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com. The Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama on IMSA Radio.
So here we are then at beautiful Road Atlanta. Great to have your company. It's John Hangdorf and Johnny Palmer here for you today on another triple header weekend. Oh my goodness. What an amount of racing we've had this Fast Friday already, and still some to come. Just outside Braselton, Georgia, is where we find Road Atlanta, taken on by Dr. Don Pano, still much missed, of course, back in the mid-1990s. Awful lot of infrastructure changes made then, but not, thank goodness, any changes to the 12 corners and 2.5 miles of the circuit. Uphill at turn one, get the power on early, then set yourself over the top of the brow, down through the S's. Very tricky turn five, the run down to the bank, turn six. Turn seven takes you onto the long, curving back straight, plunging downhill to the braking area at turn 10. Good overtaking manoeuvre there, but the lap's not over. Underneath the bridge, through the kink at turn 11, and then down through to turn 12 to get things finished for a lap. It's a busy lap, even with that long straight, and it always keeps people entertained. Great to see so many of you here this weekend, and welcome along if you are joining us trackside on 98.1 FM. We've already had one race this weekend. Let's remind ourselves of how it went. It was Riley Dickinson on the pole position for round number 10, our first of the weekend. He controlled the pace to the apex of turn 12 and then got the hammer down. Great jump away on the start. Sean McAllister going back into third position. And then Jeff Kingsley, championship leader, goes down the inside into turn 10 and takes that position. Jeff was on a bit of a mission. Round the outside at turn 12. Oh, yes, thank you very much. Not something we see a lot or hear a lot. At the front of the GT Gold Cup field, Efren Castro was on pole position in the 65. Championship leader Kurt Swearingen in the green and black number 17 was right on his tail. Bit of a problem for the number 24, Kurt Hunt, with a broken radiator, ended his race in the gravel at turn 10. On the restart, a huge incident for Joe Still, who went across the circuit and plowed into the pit wall, making the number 8 rather second-hand looking. Great work to get that cleared up, so we went back to green, and it was Riley Dickinson who won at the sharp end of the field, and in platinum, the 65 takes the win in the Gold Cup category for Efren Castro. So that's how it went earlier on. Now we have our next race, and this is how they will line up as they're in behind the Porsche safety car. So, with 45 minutes on the clock, this is round 11 of the IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama. It's Charlie Craig who is at the... Actually, it won't be, because Charlie Craig, Vernon McClure, not starting this race. David Baker didn't qualify, but this will be his 100th start in the Porsche Cup here at IMSA. He'll start the race, and then, by a bit of magic, he will wave the checkered flag at the end after he gets out of the number the 100 car. Joe Still is in position 19 for Goldcrest Motorsport. Tom Balames in Kelimos Road and Race at number 9 is in 18th. Then it's Bart Collins and Richard Edge in 16th and 17th position. Frank Razzo and Efren Castro in 15th and 14th. Joe Lombardo back this weekend, local driver in the 92 in 13th. Kurt Swearingen is the best of the Gold Cup category. He'll start in 12th position. At 11th, Michael Minella for MCE Racing. Kelly Moss Road and Race has the number 48 for David Brulé Senior in that position. 9th for Kurt Hunt and ACI Motorsport. Top Racing TJ Fisher in 8th. Charlie Luck for Wright Motorsport in 7th. Kenny Murillo in 6th. Alan Metney in 5th. 4th, Sebastian Carrazzo. 3rd, Sean McAleer. And on the front row, the two championship contenders, Jeff Kingsley in the 16 and Riley Dickinson in the 53. And that is how their line up coming to the green flag. And Dickinson is a carbon copy of what he did last time around. It's Johnny Palmer and me, John Hindorf, watching. It's a much better start by Kingsley this time. I think he was ready for that one. And it looks again as though the Shell cars drop back in to fourth position, might even lose that as well, as Sebastian Carrazzo went round him into turn one. No, he gets it back at the top of turn two. Fantastic move by Sean McAllister, but another great start by Riley Dickinson. I think he's going to have to do something slightly different in race three, because Jeff Kingsley, Johnny Palmer, had the measure of him there.
Yeah, he did, and it's all about trying to come out with slightly different tricks through the course of the weekend. But yes, Kingsley out front, and this is going to be a real struggle now, isn't it, for Riley Dickinson in the more speed prepared car to get ahead. Sean McAllister just about fending off Sebastian Carrazzo, but it was tight run thing through the first couple of corners. This grid, by the way, for race two of the weekend, decided on either your second fastest time in the standard qualifying session or the fastest lap in the previous race, whichever was quickest. And Dickinson and Kingsley were on the front row, courtesy of some very quick laps in race one. And yes, Jeff Kingsley now starting to scamper away in the lead of the race. Side by side further back, Alan Metney looks like he's going to lose one or two of places again in the early stages. This is exactly what happened to him earlier on in the day. So one place lost there to Kenny Murillo, and also in the queue is Charlie Luck in number 45.
Yeah, both the top racing youngsters, Kenny Murillo and TJ Fisher, had some coaching last night from Porsche specialist. And we know this name from years gone by, Zachary Robichon was helping them off, and it certainly seems that that coaching is paying off for Kenny Murillo, young man forging his way in motorsport. David Brulé then goes through in that 56 car and heads away from that battle. David Brulé senior, in the 48 car in 9th position now. So Murillo in the 56 car pulling away from Alan Metney, who just doesn't seem to have the pace in that AM Motorsports. That's Alan Metney, run by Kelly Moss Road and Race. He gradually just faded in the first race as well, Johnny, and didn't seem to be able to get the measure of those around him. He's a top four contender, has won a race this year. Overall, he's a Masters class contender as well, although didn't even take the Masters class victory in race one. That went to Charlie Luck.
Yes, he did, when Charlie finished seventh. Yeah, Alan started the earlier race today fifth on the grid and eventually came home in eighth, having struggled a touch. So I just wonder whether he will have had a word with his team, Kelly Moss and AM Motorsports, as you mentioned, just to sort of tweak the setup a little bit to extract some more speed. Good times coming in from the head of each of the two individual classes, platinum and gold. Jeff Kingsley across the line with a slight extension to his lead back to Riley Dickinson. He's got it up to a second now. And Kurt Swearingen now ahead of Efren Castro. So they were in the reverse order for the majority of the earlier race, and the gold division was eventually won by Efren Castro, that four car class. So already 17 ahead of 65, certainly something we didn't see earlier on today.
Yeah, Swearingen was well up a little further up the grid this time, but it was Efren Castro was on the pole position in 10th position. So great start from Kurt Swearingen, who started down in 19th that was the first race, my apologies.
12th place he started.
Yes, he did. That's. I thought he was further up the grid this time. In fact, Kurt Swearingen was pole position for the gold category So started ahead. But a good start from Jeff Kingsley. Didn't get freaked out by the jump away from Riley Dickinson from Paul. He's taken the lead and has turned that into a 1.5 second lead. Alan Metney on the defensive coming out of turn 12. And that's Charlie Luck, another Masters class runner. The advantage the Masters class have is that they must run ABS on the cars. They're the only category that are allowed it, and they have no choice. So there is a little bit of a braking advantage at some circuits, and certainly if it gets damp, there is an advantage there. But you have to know how to use it, not get the iced pedal, where the pedal goes hard and doesn't slow you down, not helping you at all at that point. So it is a little bit of an acquired taste. The rest of the cars don't have it at the moment. It looks as though Charlie is trying to push his way through, and he's right up behind as they come out of turn seven. Behind Charlie at the moment, as well, having a decent back there. That's TJ Fisher in the top racing car. Another one of the youngsters we talked about earlier on. And then a little bit further back, about 3 seconds further back, is David Brulé Sr. for Kelly Moss Roden Race in the 48 car. But a good four car battling pack coming under the bridge again and down towards the final corner. And that is the battle then for 5th, 6th, 7th and 8th position. Murillo, Metney, Luck, Fisher, as quick as I can see them, they're through turn one and up the hill at the front of the field. Now all of a sudden, 2 seconds, the gap between Kingsley and Dickinson. So Kingsley pushing the pin, pulling the pin early rather, 23.2 the fastest lap, 23.2 last time around. So really has got the hammer down at the front of the field. We've seen Jeff do this before. If he's in the mood, my goodness, he can find some pace, and he's doing that now. Meantime, Sweringen trying to get some more cars between himself and his gold category competitors. He's right at the tailpipes of Joe Lombardo for Wright Motorsports. Joe from this area, raced here a month or so ago in the 92 car, had a nasty spin, I seem to remember, at turn 7, which is where he is now, but rejoined, built up his confidence, and at the moment he's got the very bright green ACI Porsche in his mirrors. Ahead, by the way, of those two is that Hunt, Manella and Brulé battle. That's 9th, 10th and 11th down the inside there for the number 4 cars. Manella is defending, was defending going into the bottom of the hill. In fact, actually I think he's just gone by the 48. They've switched around, haven't they? Yeah, so that was a classic look down the inside there.
Yeah, the drag race out of turn 9, up the hill, over the rise and back down again into 10A and B. And Efren Castro running the risk here of giving up a place to Frank Raso, the 57 Platinum class car, and he has done. So not only was there quite a lot of real estate between Kurt Sweringen's car and the front of the yellow and black of Castro, but he's now got the top racing machine, number 57, in between the two of them. I'm not surprised about this. Kurt Sweringham's pace in race one was actually better than Castro's, and their grid positions were therefore based on how quickly the cars had gone in the earlier race. That's what gave Sweringham the pole, and he's put it to good use, hasn't he? Stretching away again.
Yeah, although he finished second in that bright green number 17, he had the Yokohama fastest lap of the race for the gold category. Well remembered, Johnny, and qualifying is either your fastest, your second fastest lap in qualifying, or your fastest lap of the race, whichever is better. So Sweringen finding some pace in that first race. Down to turn 10A, and once again, it's a passing opportunity. David Brulé down the inside there, under quite a bit of pressure. And he's going to lose that position to the number 24. That's Kurt Hunt, who's gone through into 10th. Joe Lombardo is in there as well in the 92 in the very lovely swoosh livery, in mostly white but with various colours of red, grey and black across that car. very stylish livery for Joe Lombardo, and he has gone through. So that's another position loss for David Brulé Senior for Kelly-Moss Road and Race.
But great just to have Kurt Hunt back in this race.
Good
after
point.
The damage to the radiator that seemed to be the cause rather than the effect. And he caught the back end of the incident in race one, but he arrived at 10A with fluid already pouring from that the front rad over the front tyres. The Yokohamas obviously cannot grip at all when you've got coolant or water on the rubber. And that led to him going off into the gravel trap at 10A at relatively slow speed, but needed to be recovered from there. And that was the reason for our first safety car in round 10 of the championship.
Early start for the Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama. Green flag at 9 o'clock this morning here at Braselton. Second race of the day in early afternoon, and Saturday will be the third and final race, race 12 of the season. Remember, as they have four more races after this weekend to round off a very busy 2020 season, and well done to IMSA and the organisation team for IMSA Porsche Carrera Cup USA by Yokohama for getting pretty much a full season in despite the difficult circumstances this year. Two races at St. Pete's on the IndyCar schedule to come, and then final two rounds at Mobil 1, 12 hours of Sebring, which this year, of course, will finish the whole of the IMSA season. On the weekend where we would have had the Encore in previous years, so we know what the weather's going to be like. It'll still be pleasant enough down at Sebring, and there's another couple of rounds to finish off the Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama and crown some champions. It looks like it's going to be between Jeff Kingsley and Riley Dickinson in platinum, and clearly between Kurt Swearingen and Efren Castro, who are battling side by side down the back straight at the moment. Castro gets a great slingshot, goes to the right-hand side, used a bit of the traffic there. Gets the yellow nose of his car just a tiny bit ahead of the green and white nose of the ACI car to his right. He turns into turn 10A. Good racing room given. Oh, it's a touch! And they've gone round. Castro's gone around. Slightest of touches, I think, between the two leaders. Left front of Swearingen's car to the right-hand side of the 65. It looked like Castro had just about got through. Maybe a couple of scratches on the rear quarter panel there. It was the lightest of touches, if it was a touch. But it is so loaded up there. And it looked like Castro had done the hard part of the job, to be honest, Johnny Palmer. And, the words had just come out of my mouth. Racing room asked for and given, and I'm not sure it was.
A real shame for Richard Edge. He was right behind in the blue and white car as well. He looked to try and avoid the whole incident. You're right, I think there was some contact, but Edge finds himself on the grass. Brad Collins comes through to take second, Bart Collins, I beg your pardon, to come through into second place in the gold division. So it's completely changed around now. Kurt Swearingen retains the race lead, but Efren Castro rejoins in fourth. Richard Edge lost a position in that little bit of carnage coming out of 10B, and Bart Collins for MCR Racing backs himself second place.
Now, that I'm sure will be looked at, and the race stewards, race director has all the camera angles at their disposal. We'll let you know if that draws anything. It was an audacious side-by-side manoeuvre. Kurt Swearingen absolutely determined he wasn't going to give up the lead in the Gold Cup without a fight, and it seemed as though it had all gone very well until it didn't. Right at the very end, coming out of 10B, no intent there, by the way. I would say that was hard racing, and that may be how it's seen from race control. Wait, so please, I don't have to make that decision. Third of the race is pretty much down already, and at the front of the field, the best of the battle is for the third place on the platinum podium with Sean McAllister, who has it, and Sebastian Carrazzo, who wants it. He's got the bright highlighter yellow car with the sort of highlighter red or orange stripe down the middle of it, and on the rear three quarters would make a really classic slot car model. That I really like those colours for Carrazzo. The very traditional and well-known livery on the car ahead is the JDX Racing car. They've had some great sponsors down through the years, have up until recently certainly had the Shell colours on that car. It's still the same colours, but I just noticed there that the Shell logos aren't on there. They've raced in gold and black for Hertz in the past as well, so they've had some pretty classic liveries on that car as well. Sitting in what is that third position at the moment for McAllister and Carrazzo in fourth. Number 48 circulating well for David Brulé Senior, and he's been caught by Swearingen and Bart Collins, who are now pretty much together. So yep, it's a different car in the mirrors of the green, black and white Gold Cup leader. Gold on the wing, or the door mirrors, should I say, the wing end plated at the edges of the shade band on the windscreen as well, whereas the Platinum class car, all of those accoutrements are in black. But the blue car that is chasing down at turn six, Kurt Swearingen, is the next car in class, and that's Bart Collins for MCR Racing, the number 22. And he's, I think, probably just close enough to get a little bit of a toe on the back straight now.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, trying to find that crucial window, I suppose, where the car travels marginally quicker through the air. I feel for Richard Edge, caught up in an incident not of his own making, but he is finding speed now in third position in the gold category. Just done his fastest lap of the race, a 126.411.
Nice.
So he's just margin over 3.5 seconds adrift of Bart Collins. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility to get the top three in the gold class together on track again in the remaining 30 minutes. But Jeff Kingsley continues to dominate this race after a cracking getaway alongside Riley Dickinson. They started in the reverse order with Dickinson on the inside line through turn 12 on the rolling start, but Jeff Kingsley gets the jump for Kelly Moss Road and Race, and is up to nearly 3 seconds as an advantage. It's 2.3 back to the JDX Racing car of Sean McAllister. And McAllister very definitely with company with Sebastian Carrazzo. And then Kenny Murillo in the 56 car. That's the car that was raced, I believe, for the chunk of the first part of the season by David Baker.
Correct.
With 56 on his door. And, of course, David Baker did start the race, but as planned, came in at the end of the first racing lap. But that's 100 Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge by USA by Yokohama Races now completed. So a massive milestone.
Yeah, and he, but with the miracles of modern science, and thank you to everybody who's made that happen for David, got caught up in a nasty incident earlier on in the season and didn't feel he could complete to his best ability, but nice to get him the two starts and get that car out there. JDX providing the car, and well done everybody at Porsche and the Porsche Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama for making that happen. Nice to see the number 100 on the side of David's car as well for his two starts, and he will be waving the checkered flag, so if you see someone you don't recognise, that's who it is. Now Charlie Luck has got his mirrors full of another Apex sponsored car, David Baker's long time sponsor of course, and that is TJ Fisher for Top Racing, one of the young chargers.
Yeah, originally from Oregon, he's 27 now, and making his first meaningful competitive motorsport run since 2018, when he was last in the IMSA Prototype Challenge, the LMP3s, but a couple of seasons in Pro Master as well. So be interesting to see, interview him afterwards and get his thoughts about what he thinks about the GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama, and whether there is enough interest to get involved in a very different era of Porsche for next season with the latest cars available and selling out incredibly quickly for season 2021.
The point we were chasing down earlier, and thank you to all concerned for passing the information through to JP and myself, and I am going to go and lie down in a dark room for a while now because I knew this. and why I couldn't bring it to the forefront of my poor little adult brain, there may be some clues in that last sentence, is that the Gen 1 cars are the 3.8s. The Gen 2 cars have the 4-litre direct injection flat 6 engine. And, of course, the significance of that is the 3.8 is the last of what Porsche enthusiasts call the Metzger engines, Hans Metzger, who we lost relatively recently as well. He was on our Roll of Honour for the delayed 24 hours of Le Mans in September. A fantastic career, Herr Metzger, at Porsche down through the years. And that flat six engine, a fitting tribute, and that will be running for a very long time to come, I'm sure, in both its original air-cooled format and, of course, then the modified water-cooled engine in the later cars. And as a 993 owner, I hang my head in shame that I had forgotten about that.
I think it's from my very early days of going to club meetings in the UK and in the programmes. There is a column for the CC of all the engines.
Correct.
I always like that on my spreadsheet too. So thank you for clarifying that. I know a number of people have stepped in for the information, so gratefully received.
Under 25 minutes to go now. Efren Castrol in the wheel tracks at the moment of the number 9. That is another platinum category car, so he's got that problem of an extra 200 cc's and a bit quicker for Tom Balamis from the Kellywatt Moss Roden race and supported by Beechwood Porsche 2018 era car. And that will be a little bit frustrating, I would have thought, as Efren tries to get back around and make up a position further up the field. 24 of Kurt Hunt has gone past Michael Minella. Number 4 car just dropped out of 9th position, I think I saw there. And Sebastian Carrazzo still has the Sean McAllister JDX racing car ahead of him by just over half a second as they go through the S's. Those are the close battles. Not close at all at the front of the field, where Jeff Kingsley has put 3.5 seconds into Paul Sittner, Riley Dickinson. And Riley will be kicking himself that he lost that lead so early on, JP, because he really controlled the race very well indeed from out front in race one.
He did, and he got the fastest lap as well, so it wasn't as if he was holding Jeff Kingsley up throughout the piece. He was actually, 8 tenths of a second quicker. No, not even that, sorry, 1/10 of a second quicker on the fastest laps, rather, 123.2 and a 123.3, but had the road position, whereas this time, 3.8, nearly 4 seconds now is the deficit to Jeff Kingsley, who came into this round still clinging on to the championship lead. I made it by 19 points because the difference between a first and a second is 3. It was 22 at the start of the weekend, so Dickinson getting it down by those 3 points to 19, but it's going to extend again back up to 22 with just a handful of rounds still remaining. There's one more race after this at Road Atlanta, and then there are 4 more races to go, making it a 16-round championship.
Yeah, very good. As I say, that is something to be celebrated.
Yes.
No doubt at all about that in this year of years, 2020. Let's hope all of the issues that we have seen and all of the hard work that's gone in to getting this motor racing season underway and hopefully completed, let's hope that that all comes to fruition in the next 4 weeks or so. A little bit, almost exactly 4 weeks actually, isn't it, before we are at Sebring. Through turn one, another bold manoeuvre, 57 round the outside. Frank Razzo having a great battle with David Brulee Senior and goes through. Don't see the outside manoeuvre at turn one pulled off very often. Did that quite spectacularly there and actually made it look relatively easy. Here comes Kurt Sweringen in the ACI Motorsports car as well. That's a bit of a danger time for the gold leader, as that Brulé car will be quick in a straight line. I have the sense that Kurt is probably a bit quicker through the corners.
He's actually built himself a 6.5 second lead over Bart Collins now. So whereas Collins was threatening in the MCR Racing machine, number 22, second place in the gold category, actually Sweringen has put his head down, focused on the road in front. And yes, he's drawing in a couple of platinum class cars now in the form of David Brulé Sr. and Frank Raso. And they're almost side by side again coming out of turn 10B. Fabulous entertainment to watch those two cars then in 12th and 13th positions. And Sweringen will be thinking, might be able to gain another couple of spots here if you continue to duke around. And
so they've swapped back again?
They have,
right.
Yeah.
So I tip my eye for a moment to check some lap times to see who's catching who. And I look back and it's changed around again. So what happened there with Frank Raso? Did he make a mistake or was it a genuine overtake?
I think it was an overtake into 10A.
Right, good.
Better run out of turn 7. The kink in 8 and 9, and you can often draft a car to get the ideal run into 10A. You have to be tight on the entrance to 10A. That can sometimes compromise your run out of B and up the hill underneath the bridge. But he did very nicely indeed. And as you say, Brulé now ahead of Raso and running the risk of being picked off by Sweringham now, the clear leader in the gold division.
Yeah, Bart Collins behind has just put a very good lap together. Not quite his best, about a second. Oh, and a spin! There was a touch there, not a spin.
I'm not sure there was a touch.
Was it just on the curb? I heard the rattle of Yokohama on the razor curbs on the outside of turn 7 and a fantastic recovery. But that has dropped a couple of places for David Brulé Sr. A lot of Yokohama rubber left on the road out of turn 7 as well.
Did so well to get that back again. It wasn't a full spin. And no, he went on his own, 45 degrees to the direction of travel. There was nearly contact, though, as the 57 of Frank Raso had to check up. And he knew there was a quick car behind him as well. So they couldn't afford to stack up like a freeway accident. And actually, fair credit to David Brulé, who I think realised he'd had a moment and then darted to the right-hand side of the track to allow the other cars through. But did so well to hang on to that, considering these Porsches are in their classic formation and the engine's rearward of that rear axle as well.
Do you think he planned that?
Maybe on the slowing down lap he could have done that, but not when we're still racing and got 20 minutes to go.
All right. He's caught back up with Kurt Sweringen, and seems known the worst for that. Probably took a little bit of life out of his Yokohama tyres and give himself a few more grey hairs. It's one of those things where, oh, please let me catch this because there's a very hard concrete wall across to my right-hand side. Jeff Kingsley is now 4 seconds to the good over Riley Dickinson. Last time around, Riley took about a tenth of a second, but no more, out of the leader. And it's 4.3 seconds the lead, 4.2 seconds between Dickinson and McAllister. So fairly equidistant between first and second and third. But Carrazzo's still there and still just nibbling around the back end of that number 11 from JDX Racing. The Kelly Moss Roden race driver in the number 27 refusing to give up and trying to get a bit of a draft down the back straight. And he's right at the moment in the hole in the air being made by Sean McAllister. Just looking to see. It looks like Efren Castro's day is going to get even worse. I think he's going to be lapped by the race leader in the next lap or two, with 17 minutes to go. He'll be very disappointed. And of course, if that happens and there's a full course caution, unless he gets the wave by, then that means he won't get the opportunity to close back up again. Charlie Luck having a look down the outside of Alan Metney into 10A, but can't make that one work. Kenny Murillo right there as well, and behind them TJ Fisher. So two top racing cars bracketing the Kelly Moss AM Motorsports 99, the iFly sponsored car on the right motorsports. That's the one with the rainbow sides, the number 45 of Charlie Luck. And here comes Metney into turn one, and Luck's trying to do that outside manoeuvre. Now he cuts back to the right hand side up the hill. He gets his nose sort of there, but decides it better of it and drops back, which I think was very sensible indeed. But TJ Fisher says, oh, hello, I would like a little piece of this, thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, and it's right in front of him at an arm's length if he so wishes. And there's still plenty of time to get ahead of both of these cars. Very different exits from certainly two of them from turn five as they thunder their way down towards six. Now, this is definitely single file, surely. They're going to try and attempt it side by side. Came perilously close to some contact. Still Charlie Luck on the outside of Alan Metney trying to make that work. And Fisher's not quite close enough. Although he's going to draw level now with Charlie Luck. So they're going to be door handle to door handle. A moment or two ago, the green and white car was level with the 99. This time, it is level pegging with car 58, TJ Fisher. But Charlie Luck should have the inside line for turn 10A.
Also has a very quick car in a straight line, does Charlie Luck. Yes. They're identical. These are all the same category of car, the Gen 2 cars, so the Platinum class cars. I don't know if Charlie's maybe running a little less wing on that car, but definitely, despite not getting a great exit from turn 7 and perhaps not as good as TJ in behind him, he did pull out about a car's length before the braking area. Only dolphins and bats could have heard that if I'm not careful.
You're right, though. He wasn't anywhere really near the apex out of turn 7 because he was side by side with Metney and still got fabulous drive off the corner. But it was that mid and top range where the 45 came into its own. So that will bode well for Charlie Luck and retaining his position and certainly challenging Alan Metney as he's doing exactly the same as he did a lap ago out of turn 5. Not quite as close this time around, though.
Metney goes defensive into turn 16 to the right-hand side. There's a couple of markings on the road, or at least they used to be, that you could use as brake markers. Looks like they've disappeared now. Some very thick black tyre marks there, where in the promoted test day earlier on, one of the McLarens from another category of racing went for a pretty wild ride. And that team have now replaced it with a Porsche. So, you know, all's well that ends well. Nobody hurt. And another Porsche to race this weekend. 6.2 seconds now at the head of the field. That gap between Kingsley and everyone else.
Luck's got Metney into 10A.
Nice.
Gets ahead. Great. Outbreaking and overtaking manoeuvre. Now, what's Metney got planned for just before the end of this lap? Can't find an inside line to repay the favour. And TJ Fisher, a cracking run on the 99 as they head across the start-finish line and back into turn number one. Climb the rise where it's very tricky to work out where your turn-in and braking point is at turn two. But all three cars do that fabulously well. They'll tumble their way down then through the sweepers and up through turn four and five. So Charlie Luck now ahead of Alan Metney, exactly what he was able to do in the earlier race, and that is the lead change for the Masters class as well, the cars with ABS.
Yeah, very good. So Charlie Luck again in the lead of the Masters category. TJ Fisher at the other end of his racing career as they sweep through turn six into turn seven. Meantime, the leader has lapped Efren Castro and has now got Richard Edge right in front of him. So Richard Edge has dropped back towards Castro. There's a chance here for Castro to make up an important position and score some more points in the Gold Cup. And he tries to follow the leader through down through the S's, but that was a fool's errand, and he wisely steers away from that thought. But now he's got to get the good run out of turn five, and actually got a little bit too close, I think, going through the middle of turn five and wasn't able to get the run out of five and turn that into an overtaking manoeuvre into six, the right-hander at the far end of the circuit. Beautiful day at Road Atlanta, just outside Braselton, Georgia. And sun high in the sky. Slightly later in the year than when we're normally here for Motul Petit-Le-Mans, but even so, cracking weather. And the Porsche's making the best of it with another race on Saturday morning. Very unusual to have a race on the Saturday morning ahead of the main event, but such as this year, this triple header, and the Porsches have been given the honour of appearing on the big race day itself. Through turn 12, Richard Edge then in that very pretty chevron blue colour scheme. Here comes Castro down the inside into turn one. Late manoeuvre towards the apex, but it's a good one. They'll drag up the hill together, and Castro is on the right hand side, which is the right side for the right hand corner at turn two. planned much, much earlier than when it was finally executed, Johnny Palmer. That plan started all the way back coming down the hill to turn 12.
Yeah, and you've got to think several corners ahead, but Castro had had some time sitting behind Richard Edge to work out where the speed was better. He'd actually gained 2 seconds on Richard the previous lap, a further second leading up to that overtake, and eventually got the move done on what was lap 24 for these cars.
The Yokohama fastest lap of gold goes to Efren Castro. 1:25.6, 1:23.2 for Jeff Kingsley at the front of the field. Meantime, that battle for the third step on the podium overall and in platinum. Two Porsches absolutely together. You could probably only see one if you're looking straight on, and that's Sean McAllister's number 11. But right together coming down towards turn number 10A. Can't get the job done on the brakes for the 27 in Carrazzo. I thought he was in a perfect position there, but somehow, although he dragged right up to the back of McAllister's car, Carrazzo, when he pulled out, didn't get the slingshot as he hit the air that was being spilled round the sides of the number 11. It was slowing him down, and also slowing down Alan Metney in the 99. Moving slowly. Now, 9.5 to go. Can he get that car back to the pits? It looked for a moment as if the headlights went off on that car, which normally means a recycle and possibly dead stick.
Yeah, I was just trying to work out whether the car was down, maybe on one of its sides, because that's indicative of a puncture, but it possibly looked like all four Yokohamas were still fully inflated. There was a bit that flicked up between the two cars battling over second, or rather third and fourth, which I thought might have been a bit of Porsche, actually. Possibly more likely to be tyre debris, though, on the long straight between turn 7 and turn 10. But Metney now struggling to work out where to put the car. He's going to turn right and park it up next to one of the corner workers' bases. So the overlap within the concrete wall there.
Yeah, that's the cut through from turn 5, Johnny. There's a couple of different configurations you can use at Road Atlanta. And you can use the start line up to turn 5 and then basically hairpin back round halfway down onto the back straight and run a completely separate circuit in almost an extended oval, with another set of cutouts on the other side, and then run down through 6 and 7 and then back round in the opposite direction.
It looked like he almost didn't have the faith that the car was going to get up the hill out of 10B and back to the pit, so he wanted to park it in the safest area possible and toyed with somewhere on driver's left, then took the car over to driver's right, and I think eventually parking up in that cutout, as you said. But, you know, concern for Alan Metney's car. I still think all four tyres were inflated, so a drive issue quite possibly. Now, the battle for third and fourth has caught one of the Gold Cup entries. That was Richard Edge, I believe. As meanwhile, Efren Castro has now got ahead of Bart Collins for second position in the Cup class. So that is Bart, isn't it? The 22. Yes, so that's confirmed that Castro's got ahead now and back into second position. Meanwhile, has the scrap for third and fourth changed order? No, but they are now the right side of Richard Edge, and Sean McAllister has weathered that storm as Sebastian Carrazzo got very, very close again.
Inside the last 8 minutes, this has been an enthralling battle for the third and final step on the platinum and overall podium. Sean McAllister at various times fighting a rearguard battle, but does seem to be able to make the difference where and when it counts. We've not really seen a concerted effort by Carrazzo to stick that very bright yellow nose of the number 27 car down the inside, Johnny.
Now he's got really close, and I'd love to have been able to tell exactly how close he was on the back of Sean McAllister on that haul out of turn 7 through the kinks at 8 and 9. What, about 3 or 4 laps ago, because there had to be no more than a cigarette paper between the two of them. And as I said, a significant chunk of something was thrown up into the air, but I think it's more likely to have been a bit of tyre pickup thrown off the cars as more and more of the Yokohama rubber wears away. We're deep into this 45-minute race now, just 6 minutes to go. And if Sebastian Carrazzo is going to make a launch for third position, it needs to be in the next handful of laps. There was a significant difference between their fastest lap times earlier on. Actually, Sean McAllister getting third place on the grid, courtesy of his second fastest time in qualifying, rather than his race pace earlier today. But McAllister, with the great defensive drive, I think if Carrazzo could get ahead, he may well start to extend the gap a little bit by half a second to a second, but he's got to force the opportunity in order to do that and outscore McAllister. They're doing both well in the championship heading into this particular weekend. McAllister was fourth on 250 and Sebastian Carrazzo just 5 points back. So this is looking like McAllister in the number 11 car will again outscore his rival from Puerto Rico. Carrazzo showing good speed. And now this might be an opportunity because they're both catching Efren Castro in the TPC Racing Gold Cup car. Castro, as we know, has not had the ideal race after a clash with Kurt Swearingen, but he's got back in the second position and the 65 does have good speed despite the fact that this being a 2016 car and he's being chased by the McAllister car, which is 2017, and Carrazzo's just a year old. Oh, a bit of dirt kicked up there by Carrazzo, who was a touch wide coming out of turn seven. And now, if McAllister can get ahead and try and prevent Carrazzo from overtaking Castro, this might be race deciding. Carrazzo, no, he's going to get level with Castro and they'll both get by in the same move.
Yeah. I wonder if he can latch onto the back of them and get a bit of a draft, though, in various places around the track, because that's a... Obviously, that's a lap that they've put on him there.
Yeah.
He was gaining on Kurt Swearingen. He's down in the 26s, but he's dropped down to nearly a 28 there whilst he was being passed. He can do a 25 and a half in that car. At least he has done. So what has he got left, Efren Castro? And can he use that to try and bridge the gap? I reckon it's about 10 seconds. And there's just not enough time, I'm afraid, for him to get back to Swearingen. So rather robbing us of the battle we were hoping for at the front of the field and at the front of the championship in the Gold Cup. Jeff Kingsley, 4.1 seconds. So having got out to 6 seconds, it's now back down to four. And they're lapped, there being Jeff Kingsley and Riley Dickinson first and second. The same time, 124.784 against 124.776. So if you write the press release, you would say Dickinson closed in on lap number 29, but he's by a fraction. The real battle still, McAllister and Carrazzo going down the back straight now. Great to see the camping out there in the sunshine here at Road Atlanta. Down into turn 10 as they turn in right, then left, take the curb in the... left, then right. Take the curb on the right-handed part of the exit there. And then commit to throwing yourself over the top of the hill and down into turn 12. One more lap after the lap they're on, I reckon, with just on 2.5 minutes to go. Jeff Kingsley, with a bit of clear air, has just taken half a second out of Riley Dickinson, so the gap's grown to 4.4 seconds. But this battle for second and third, Johnny Palmer absolutely still bubbling on. Kurt Swearingen at the moment in control of the Gold Cup in 12th overall for ACI Motorsports, and with David Brulé Senior some 3 seconds behind, Efren Castro another 5 seconds behind. That's coming down, and that's coming down quite quickly. A second and a half taken out to Swearingen last time around. It's not going to be enough. But Efren Castro does have the Yokohama fastest lap of the race for gold. It's the leader, Jeff Kingsley, who has it in platinum with a 1:23.2. And still, this battle continues for third place. And now there's traffic. Traffic as well. Here's the opportunity. This is Brulé. Down through turn 12. And This could be the opportunity for Carrazzo to try and get up the inside. But it looks to me as though McAllister's timed that perfectly.
Yeah, it's going to go the other way, isn't it? Carrazzo's now caught the wrong side of the 48 and actually can slot through into turn two. But that has driven a larger gap between the two scrapping over third and fourth. It's up to about four or five car lengths now with under a minute left on the clock. So Jeff Kingsley will have squeezed onto an extra lap. Question is, are we going to get the white flag this time or the next time around? It will be this time for Kingsley in the Kelly Moss Roden race car, leading by nearly 5 seconds now over Riley Dickinson. He continues to extend the gap. 124.6 last time around, which is just over a second off his ultimate speed.
Half a minute to go on the clock. So
it's going to be close.
It should be. No, the white flag is back timed, JP. So once you get down anything under 123 to go. So last time it would have been over that. So they wouldn't have shown it. So this time the white flag will be out. And keep an eye open on that starter stand for David Baker, who, to commemorate his 100th start, which he made earlier on, he will be given the honour of waving the chequered flag. And it looks at the moment as though Jeff Kingsley will see that chequered flag. So the 100 starts has been achieved for David Baker. What a lovely, lovely, thoughtful gesture made by the Porsche Carrera Cup organisers and indeed everybody that made that happen. JDX for getting the car out as well. So half a lap now for third place, and they're coming up to lap the gold leader. Now he'll stay to the right because he doesn't want to be involved in any kind of schmozzle with those two.
No.
Move down to turn six.
57 car just ahead as well that they'll need to nip around, which is Frank Raso. Still just as close as it has been pretty much all race, but Kurt Swearingen has just been overtaken by the two of them in one move. McAllister and Carrazzo still in that same order, with Frank Raso now to be overtaken.
First blood this weekend for the championship battle went to Riley Dickinson, who won round 10, but round 11 goes swinging the other way to the championship leader, and his lead is restored as through goes Jeff Kingsley to win it. Dickinson will be second. Seventh win of the year for Jeff Kingsley. And in the battle for third place, McAllister by 0.3 seconds. Carrazzo finishes off the podium. Kenny Murillo comes home a solid fifth position as he crosses the line in a moment or two. And Kurt Swearingen has finished. So that's a reverse as well from round 10 earlier today. So again, that is parity to where we came into the weekend. Between Efren Castro and Kurt Swearingen, with Swearingen back in terms of his championship lead to where he was before round 10. Jeff Kingsley made the move early on the pole sitter and leader Riley Dickinson, and he's turned that into top points. Sean McAllister hanging on to third place behind Riley Dickinson, but some 8 seconds distance from the leader. Well, what a race again. You know, there's not a mark on the left hand side of that number 17. I just wonder if race direction have decided there wasn't any kind of touch between those two and that was a racing incident. Maybe Castro trying to go around the outside, just got on the power a bit early, spun up the back wheels.
Yeah. There may be some onboard footage that they can extract from either one or both of the cars.
No action reported from race control, by
Fine.
The way. So,
okay.
I didn't even see it being investigated, so they may have had a much better view than we did. So, another cracking race in both the gold and the platinum category. Jeff Kingsley takes his seventh of the year. One more to go at Road Atlanta, as they'll be back tomorrow morning, Saturday, before the big race. Kingsley back to where he was. Another 3 points taken out of his chasing rival, Riley Dickinson. Great start from Dickinson, but couldn't hold on to the lead. Controversy when the battle for the Gold Cup got very close together and Efren Castro did recover the second position. But it's Kurt Sweringen who takes the top points for gold. Kingsley at the front of the field. And that was a great second race at Road Atlanta. Johnny Palmer and John Hindorf will be back tomorrow.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.